for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2016 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, December the 30th, 2016, Randy Ritchie is the speaker of the afternoon teaching on rejection.
Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for all that you've done so far. And Lord, we're just excited that you're not done. You're not done. Thank you, Lord, that all of us, you are the author and finisher of our faiths. And you have not started a work that you're not going to complete, but you'll do this work until the day of redemption. And excitingly, as we see the things going on in our world that are terrible, but the more that we look, the more that we see, even amongst the darkness, your light is shining.
Yes, Lord.
And amongst the darkness and what we're seeing and the things going on and the things happening in the political realm and the things happening in the religious realms and the things happening in the economic realms, they all point to the very true and sure fact that you're coming. And Lord Jesus, we're so blessed to be your people. We have the best deal available in the entire world. We thank you for it, Lord. But we're looking for you. We thank you, Lord, that even as you're here with us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, by your grace, by your Spirit, which our battles are won by, not by might or power, but by your Spirit. But we know that there's a day coming that you're going to put all these things into perfect order. And we give you glory for it. In the meantime, Father, we ask you for help. Your name, Jesus, is the strong tower that the righteous run into. You are an ever-present help in time of need. We need you. We invite you, Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for what you've done with us. We need your manifest presence now, and I'm inviting you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that your will be done, your kingdom come on earth, even right here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, as it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you for the authority over all of the power of the enemy to trample on serpents and scorpions, Father. Thank you, we do tread on the young lion. We do tread on the adder in the name of Jesus. Thank you that no plague or pestilence comes near our border. Thank you that 1,000 can fall on the left and 10,000 on the right. Nothing comes near us. Thank you, Father, we have nothing to fear. We give you all the glory. Thank you for the promise. The promise of the resurrection, Jesus, and your resurrection power available today to do battle against darkness, to change us from glory to glory. And Father, we invite you. I thank you for the anointing that destroys yokes and give you all the glory in advance. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers us all. I apply the blood of Jesus to this whole area, to the air, atmosphere above us, the ground below us, everything around us, to every set of ears here, to my tongue, in the name of Jesus. To our minds, to our wills, to our emotions, Lord. To our physical bodies, Lord. I thank you, Father, that even as we perceive that, and we start ministering, Lord, that as words of truth are heard, strongholds are broken down, and people are healed. People's mind is healed. Their emotions are healed. And their physical bodies are healed. Get yourself some glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We're going to talk about rejection. Now, this might not be going far enough back, this picture, but you know it starts back there. You know, but I could very well have a picture up there of a pregnant woman. Okay, with a baby in her womb. And rejection goes way back. So we're going to talk about rejection as the ultimate, the big package, but we're going to start off with identity and how these things affect your identity in Christ. Identity. Thank you, God. I want to talk to you about a critical issue affecting the body of Christ. It is about identity, and even maybe you could say identity theft. You know, there was a day nobody even had a driver's license. Now we got driver's license, credit cards, and all those things, and One of the things people have concern about is somebody, people actually get their identity stolen. In that natural realm of finance, right? But how many know that's secondary to what your real identity is? Your real identity is who we are in the living God. The plan and the purpose, that the being that God allowed to be created that came forth because of His plan, and that being and that essence of a human being that He paid a great price for at the cross. Amen? Many God's people don't know who they are in Christ. Many have heard they're new creatures in Christ, but they have no concept about their real and their true identity. I present to you that we all need to grab a hold of the following. Listen, Galatians 2:19-20. It was the law itself that killed me and freed me from its power so that I could live for God. I have been nailed to the cross with Christ. I have died, but Christ lives in me. And I now live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave His life for me. Is that who you are to you? Do you know that? Know that the enemy of your soul is deeply concerned. He is deeply concerned that you would be a people that would do what it takes to be difference makers. I mean, know we're here for a purpose. I mean, if you get born again and you don't have a purpose here, why aren't we just boom, gone? Boom, out of here. Brother said, we're no longer citizens of this world. We're not. Listen, Callie and I moved from Texas. We're Texans. We're, you know, in the natural realm of things, we're native Texans. And we moved to Oklahoma. And the Texas people would say, oh, you're moving to Oklahoma. And the Oklahoma people say, oh, you're from Texas. And I said, man, I'm not even a citizen of this world. Passing through. I know that. I'm delighted to be wherever the Lord has me. Grateful for wherever we're at. Listen, we got to be grateful where we're at.
Right.
Wherever. Lord, you can look around. Listen, we all got issues, right? Look around, you'll find something worse. Come on. Look around. You know those Islamist people that are blowing people up? You know, sending their little girls with bombs on them? We could have been born over there at 2 or 3 years old, being told to hate Jews and Christians and everybody that wasn't an Islamist and that lied to about what we would get if we went and strap bombs on and kill people. And we weren't. That's enough, thank God, right there. Not to mention you got underwear and socks on. Come on. Water, drink, food, you know, come on. Even beans and rice. Listen, there's a diet coming to the earth. It's a tribulation diet. Beans and rice, one cup a day, guaranteed to lose weight.
That's right.
People with identity misplaced do minimal damage to the kingdom of darkness. Let's look at what the Lord required of Israel when He took them out of Egypt to make them His own special people. In chapter 22 of the book of Exodus, we find that Moses had been on the mount receiving the Ten Commandments. But he came back down to find the people worse than the golden calf. He took them, made Moses mad. Some things need to start making us mad. Now, we don't want them to throw fits and not get in trouble over it. But we should have an indignation for some of the sin going on, right? It's like the devil. Moses took the golden calf, ground it up into powder, and spread it on the water for the people to drink. He also called for a commitment to follow God. Only the Levites responded. Moses then had the Levites kill 3,000 men who had refused to repent. He went again before the Lord to plead for the people. God told Moses to have the people remove all their ornaments. For the Lord had said unto Moses, saying to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come into the midst of you in a moment and consume you. Therefore now put off your ornaments from yourselves, that I may know what to do unto you. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. They had to lay aside the ornaments that they might be free to worship God and to follow Him. The basic meaning of the word worship means to give worth or value to. What are we giving our worth to? What is the most valuable thing to us? Is it the Lord? Is it His ways? Is it what He wants from us? Question today is, what are the ornaments which may decorate our lives which point to our own worth, which may hinder our following God. We'll put it another way. What are you getting your value from? What are we getting our value from? So ornaments may be our job, our position. They may be our physical or intellectual abilities. They could be our achievements in life. Could be our education. Could be our race, our nationality, our family, our friends. Could be our church. Could be our ministry. Now what did Jesus say about following Him? Luke 9:23-24. And He said unto them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save. This means we're to put our wants and our desires on the shelves before we are free to follow Jesus. Let me tell you something. When you give it all to Him, He gives you more back than you handle. He's good. He's a good God. And by the way, in all this, He's not a control freak. He's not. You can be His or not be His. You can do His will or not do His will. You can benefit or not benefit. He's the same yesterday and today and tomorrow. He took Israel up on the mountain. He showed them the blessings and the curses. His sister said about 15 blessings and about 60 curses. Those blessings are incredible. Everything you could need in life. And the curses, He said, are going to be upon you. And because human beings are so stubborn, sometimes you got to say it on your children too before they can get it. But it's the truth. How many know we're all suffering for the choice of Adam and Eve?
That's right.
It comes all the way down the bloodline. God's not looking to control us, but He's looking for those that would volunteer. He's looking for those that would be hungry and those that would say, Lord, I want You. I just want You. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. He's speaking of following Him as a disciple, which really the word disciple means a disciplined one. Now, you know, it takes some discipline to live this life. Sometimes that discipline is just saying no to stuff you shouldn't do. Not listening to things that will harm you. I'm going to tell you something. The more that we can get our souls cleansed, the more you can tell when you're getting polluted.
That's right.
You hear me? We're so inoculated to the poisons in this world and to the things that are just accepted as common that oftentimes even God's people don't even know what's of God and what's not. But when we keep getting cleansed and we're purposing in our heart to obey God and we're living for Him and His love is pouring into us, you can literally feel when something is sapping the life out of you. How many want to be there?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about a checklist that says I've done all this right. I'm this and I'm that. And look how I do this and look how I do that, because then look how they don't. And I'm not talking about how good that one is and how they do all those things and what a piece of trash I am. I'm talking about living for Jesus.
Yes.
And living in Him.
Yes.
And letting Him do His good work in us. Amen? Trusting that He values us, accepting that value, accepting that gift of righteousness, and walking this thing out with Him. Loving Him, loving ourselves, and loving our neighbors. How many want to do that?
Yes.
Amen? Our love for our family and even our own lives must be as hate compared to our love for Jesus. Jesus wasn't telling people to hate their families. He's just saying, I have to be more important than even their opinion of what you might do. I know that I'm going to say this to anybody that's come out and has decided to walk with the Lord and their families or not. Any one of you has been thought to be crazy. Well, I can remember the words of people to me. Oh, you'll get over that Jesus thing. It's okay. You know, you're excited, but it'll pass. Well, it hasn't passed.
Amen.
It's not going to pass by His grace.
Amen.
Amen. I know what death is like.
Yeah.
I walked that path.
Yeah.
We need to walk to life.
Yeah.
Amen. So Abraham had to forsake his home, his country, his friends, and even his family to follow God. You know that Abraham, he came out of the middle of a bunch of idol worshipers. Everybody was worshiping idol. If you look back in history, there's historical books that you can read. It says Abraham's father was an idol maker. And some of the, one of the books says Abraham destroyed those idols. Well, the reason he had to leave. God told him to get out of there. And I'm going to ask this question. Are you willing to forsake all to follow Jesus? If you are, sing with me. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Luke 14:33. So likewise, whosoever it be of you that forsake not all that he has cannot be then my disciple. Are you willing to forsake everything to be free to follow Jesus? What did Paul teach? He said, yes, doubtless, I can't count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I am suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. Paul was brilliant. You can pick the professorest professor that you've got in this nation that knows everything. Paul had it with the Word of God, with the Torah, with the Law and the Prophets, and he sat at the feet of a man called Gamaliel, and he had one of the highest respected positions available in his religious world. And he's and highly acclaimed. Had it all. And he says, trash. Trash. I'm following Jesus. He was circumcised as a sign of his covenant with God. He was part of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee, the strictest religious sect. He was zealous in persecuting the church. He thought he was doing right. Proverbs says, his man's ways seem right unto himself, but the pathway therein leads unto death. I present to you that applies as much to the legalist thinking he's doing right for God as it does to the alcoholic or the drunk or the prostitute.
That's right.
And maybe more damage done to the kingdom of God by the legalist. Amen. God can't die for everybody. Amen. He lived according to the law. He was also a Roman citizen, which was of high value. How many know if you were in trouble anywhere in the world, you'd want to be an American citizen? It's always been that way. It may not be that way in the past, but we were really one of the only nations in the world that would go protect their people. Okay? The Romans were that way too. They had privilege. He spoke about 5 different languages, and yet he said, I counted all dung. He counted it like a pile of manure that he might follow after Christ. I'm going to ask you, what's in your pile of manure? What's in yours? What's in the... And listen, so this is good and bad. I count it all. I'm not looking back. But what have we got hanging on here? So I'm going to ask some tough questions. I'm going to have you ask some tough questions. Say, if I lost, blank, blank, blank. If I lost, talking to you, asking this question. If I lost this, that, this, would I still follow Jesus? Abraham was a want-to-be father who became the father of the nation of Israel and many others. And more than that, the father of our faith. See what Brother Pittman was alluding to. Because Abraham wasn't just the father of Israel. And by the way, he wasn't just the father of Ishmael. But as it turns out through history, if you really want to go study, you're going to find out that many nations came out of his loins. Not just Middle Eastern nations. Okay? But it cost him. Now listen. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house and unto the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. He's telling him that the Messiah is coming out of you. All of the families of the earth are blessed because of who? Jesus. One man, Jesus. The only mediator between God and man. Came forth from Abraham. The promise. He gave up everything to be obedient. He did give up his home, his friends, his country, and his family. But listen, he waited 25 years for the promise of God to come to pass. And he got a little messed up on the way trying to help God. Anybody ever done that? Ever try to help God? How's that work? But then the promise comes in the form of this fine young man named Isaac, means laughter. The promise is coming through Isaac and what God tells him to do. He said, now take your son, your only son Isaac, who you love, and go to you the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I'll tell you about. Can you imagine? Which one of us could take our child and go up a mountain and be ready to do what God asked him to do? Abraham did it. Some of us need to take our children up the mountain. Ultimately, you're not taking them up to sacrifice. You're just giving them to God up there on that mountain. Huh? You need to take them up the mountain and trust God with them. Because ultimately, you know why Abraham trusted God? He trusted God, period, because he was God. And he knew he was able to do whatever he wanted to do. And that if he told him that that boy was going to be his progeny, and out of him was going to come many, he knew that even if he did what he did, he'd bring him back. Because he's not a man that he should lie, or the son of man that he should repent. He's one true God, and he never lies. He had to be willing to give up even that which God had given him. Are we? Look at Moses, the prince of Egypt. He became the prince of the Hebrews. How about the prince of the most powerful nation on the face of the earth going to be a prince of slaves? Because that was their state at the time in the natural. The Lord said, what is in your hand? And he said, a rod, Exodus 4:2. It was representative of everything that Moses was. He was a shepherd. You know the shepherds were the outcasts? You went to India today, you went to Nepal, they have a group of people, the Hindu caste system has a people called the Dalits. D-A-L-L-I-T, or D-A-L-I-T, Dalits. They're called the Untouchables. They get the jobs of cleaning out the sewers and tanning out the animals and doing anything nobody else would want to do. And you're born into it, and according to that caste system, you don't come out of it. Well, to the Egyptian, a shepherd was considered like a Dalit. They were unclean to the Egyptian. He'd been a shepherd for 40 years. Left as the prince of Egypt, came back as a shepherd with a rod in his hand. Can you imagine what the wise one Pharaoh thought when he saw Moses? Huh? Guess what God did? What does God do? He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. When he threw that rod down, it was though he was throwing down his life. It became a poisonous serpent. When God told him to pick it up, he had to put his total trust in God because God told him to pick it up by the tail, leaving the action end open. You know, the snake's end on the other end of the biter. You pick it up by the tail, you better be trusting God.
Yeah.
Amen? How many want to pick up a rattlesnake by the tail?
No.
Okay. That rod became a symbol of God's power and authority in the hand of Moses and Aaron. It became the instrument through which God works many miracles. Church, the people who are willing to exchange their lives for the life of the Son of God can and will do great exploits. Book of Daniel tells us those that know their God shall do great exploits. He's talking about the day at hand. Right now. David, filled with the Spirit of the Lord, killed Goliath in the name of the Lord. He told Goliath, I don't come to you with swords and spears. I come in the name of the Lord. Oh, the name of Jesus. If you don't know it, church, you need to know how powerful that name is. There is no other name by which man can be saved. But it's the name above all names, in the heavens, on the earth, and the earth below. And if He's in you, He's given you that name, His name, to use in authority against the powers of darkness. Do you know your authority? I'm going to just give a... Listen, early on in my walk with Him, my son, who's 24 years old now, our son, he was a little boy. And he and I were coming out of a Walmart. I'd been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and I was starting to learn. And there was a couple came out of that Walmart, and they were fighting and cussing one another with a little baby in a car. And when they approached their car, that husband slung that cart about 20 feet and slammed it into the car. Well, I'm going to tell you, it had been about a year before, I'd probably run over there, and we'd been in a fight. And I'd probably gone to jail, because they'd all turned on me. You understand?
Yeah.
But I looked at that and I told my little boy, I said, point your hand and let's pray in tongues. And we pointed and prayed in tongues. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind you anger and I bind you strife. In Jesus' name. And they stopped doing what they're doing And they looked at one another, and he hugged her, and he went over and picked the baby up, and they went on. The name of Jesus. Well, that spoke to me. It spoke to me. God's not a liar. Every knee must bow. Every tongue's going to confess that Jesus is Lord of all. Amen? Peter, a simple fisherman, he denied Jesus 3 times. Got filled with the Holy Ghost and preached in power on the day of Pentecost. Listen, 3,000 were saved. You know what's interesting? I just told you that the day Moses came down from the mountain with the law and all of that went on, 3,000 died. On the day of Pentecost, God pours out His Spirit, 3,000 get saved. I'm going to tell you something I've learned in life. The dark things that you've done, God will put you in an opportunity to undo them. In places, with people, in events that happened that you didn't do it right. If you're God's and He's yours, He's going to put you in a position to do something well in His name. Because He's a God of restitution and reconciliation. Amen?
Amen.
Nothing's impossible with God. Anchor yourselves in the Lord, who says who you are, and know that you can do what the Lord says you can do. Listen to the Word of God. Make these your confessions. Open the door one, but I'm going to read it to you. I want you to read them with me. Okay? And after this is over, I'll put these up. I mean, somebody listen to me. I want to talk to you about, before we talk about these confessions. This isn't magic. Okay? But you're struggling. And the Word of God is not ingrained in your soul. In other words, you don't know that is truth. Oh, you're going to say with your mouth what's true because God says. But it hasn't become your truth till you're living it. It hasn't become your truth. It's the truth you know that sets you free. It hasn't become your truth until you're tempted by the devil and you swing the sword of your truth, God's Word, and you force Him to flee. That takes obedience to God. So we need fighting scriptures. How are you tempted? You know. What lie does the enemy use against you? You know. Is it your value? Is it that you haven't changed? Well, you're the same old blah, blah, blah. Well, when he says you're the same old blah, 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 you say, oh, no, devil. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. God's not going to help you with that. Oh, shut up, devil. The Lord supplies all my needs according to Christ's riches and His glory. You know, you're going to lose this one. Oh, no, devil. The Lord always causes the knights to triumph. Do you know those words? Do you know them? Because if you don't and you're not deploying them, you're going to lose your battles. You'll eventually triumph because you're God's. But how many know our ultimate triumph, we're going to die and be with Him. And the Bible says death has no sting for us. Where's your victory, death? There is none for us. We're going home. We're not dying. But Pittman came to that testimony. He said, you ain't dying, you're living. We don't even start living until we die out of this thing. If we're Christians, if we're born again people, let's just say. Huh? Do you know scriptures that are ingrained in your mind, in your soul, that you can fight the enemy with? Because if you don't, you need to. I tell people, listen, get flashcards, put them in your pocket. You don't have a shirt with a pocket, get a shirt with a front pocket, and when the devil tempts you, if you don't know it, whip it out on it. Here. Come on. So confessions, and listen, so there are places where if that word isn't alive, when my wife came to me, I told you some of our story, what the Lord used me for at the very beginning was to help her get delivered. She didn't know who she was in the Lord at all, and I had been taught, and I knew by then who I was, but she had to learn, and she took those scriptures, and we made confessions every day. Declaring what God said about her until she knows it herself. She knows it. We have to. So, you don't have to know 200 scriptures, but you need to know your 5 scriptures, but it's not a bad idea to establish the fact that you believe, and in your heart you believe, and out of your mouth is coming God's Word that says, say this with me, Ephesians 2:5, I am alive with Christ.
I am alive with Christ.
8:2 Romans. I am free from the law of sin and death.
I am free from the law of sin and death.
Isaiah 54:14. I am far from oppression.
I am
And fear does not come near me. John 5:18. I am born of God. And the evil one does not touch me. That was 1 John 5:18. 1 Peter 4. Or Ephesians 1:4 and 1 Peter 1:16.
I am holy.
And without blame.
Before him in love.
Now those scriptures have been personalized. Do you own them? God gave them to you, don't you? Philippians 4:7. Say, I have the peace of God.
I have the peace of God.
That passes all understanding.
First John 4:4.
I have the greater one living in me.
Who is in me
that is greater than he who is in the world. Romans 5:17. I have received the gift of righteousness. And reign as a king in life. By Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:10. I am God's workmanship. Created in Christ. Unto good works. 2 Corinthians 4:4. I am a believer. And the light of the gospel shines in my mind. Romans 8:17. I am a joint heir. With Christ. Listen, when I got born again, I gave my life to the Lord for long, long, many years of darkness. I made pretty good money. I made about $80,000 a year and had about $95 in bills. Okay? So then I found out about tithing and giving, and I'm going, well, this math doesn't work. But I want to be obedient. So I said, Lord, I'm going to give. I'm going to tithe. You're going to have to take care of the rest. I'm going to trust you. Oh, by the way, the company that I was a part of, an owner of, a joint owner in, we owed over $1.5 million. $7 million a year and owed $1.5 million after it was over with. Let me tell you something, darkness cost. Okay? Cost a lot. But my partner in business and a long-time friend still, we're still partners, but he came to the Lord at the same time. Even unbeknownst, we barely communicated, so we were both so jacked up. He was in Lubbock, and I was in Houston, and I was running the day-to-day things, and he just had to go because he was going to die, and he knew he had to get away. And the Lord drew us at the same time, okay? And the Lord was faithful, and we just gave our lives to him and began to do what we're supposed to do in the Lord. And he got me out of debt, and he got that company out of debt in a very short time with less money than we ever had. Because my $80,000 salary got cut to $40,000 because we lost everything the business had almost and went from 56 employees to 4 within about 6 months. And instead of a $7 million a year, we had a couple of $1.5 million years, which seems a lot, but when you got a lot of, takes a lot of money to operate a business like we were doing. But the Lord, in those amounts of money, now, he cut me to $40,000 a year. My salary had to be cut. So I went on commission. The next year, I made $95,000. And the next year, more, because God took care of me. He took care of me. My debts got paid. But in the process, I'm paying out. I got more bills than I can pay. I'm tithing and giving. The enemy's pressure is coming on. I have learned to fight. The Lord supplies all my needs according to Christ's riches. I speak in these things. I'm fighting the enemy every time I'm feeling the pressure. Listen, church, if you don't respond to the lie and the temptation of the enemy, you get whatever he's trying to put on you.
That's right.
You have to be, ever heard of a first responder? Mm-hmm. We talk about that, the ambulance, the fire department, but listen, you need to be a first responder. The first time that devil opens his mouth, you respond. The first flash of something across your mind that doesn't belong and isn't righteous, you respond. The first pull or leaning or emotional draw that's unholy, you respond. If you do that, you dominate the enemy.
Yes.
If you don't, he's going to dominate you.
Right.
So I learned to become a responder, but I still felt it. And then one day, I looked at that scripture, said, I'm a joint heir with Christ. And I realized, well, the Father loves Jesus. And I'm hooked up with Jesus, a joint heir. And it left off the pages. And I knew my daddy was going to come. See, it became part of my soul that I knew that it was going to be okay. Okay? Romans 8:37, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Say, I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. Revelation 12:11, I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. And I love not my life unto death. How about this? 2 Peter 1:3-4. I am a partaker of his divine nature. James 4:7. I'm submitted to God, and the devil flees from me because I resist him. Now, I'm adding this in the name of Jesus. You resist him in your name, you're going to get a butt with him. Fight out. He'll mop the floor with you. Huh? There's a story of seven sons of Sceva that decided, now listen here, seven sons of Sceva, they tried to use the name of Jesus. The problem is they didn't have him.
Right.
Yeah, so they're trying to weld that name and they didn't have him. And they got beat up and sent outside naked. Huh? So let me tell you something, church, children of God, if you're not obedient and you go to try to resist the devil with the name of Jesus, you're going to end up naked and beat up. If you don't behave. I promise. Got a friend of the Lord, you're a great man of God, been around a long time. He tells me, he said, just behave. You want a good life? Just behave. It is that simple. Just behave. 2 Timothy 1:7. Repeat with me. Some of you should know this. Listen, if you're fighting fear, you need to major on this. You need to major on this. See? Oh, and by the way, ask God. Let's ask the Lord now. Lord?
Lord,
where am I living in fear?
I'm
asking you in the days and times ahead to show me where I'm living in fear.
I'm asking
in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
A lot of places you don't even think it's fear and they are. It is fear. Okay? Ready? For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power. And a love. And a sound mind. Thank you, Lord. How about this? What kind of camper are we in? The deliverance camp. Amen? It's a deliverance camp. Okay? It's a Bible camp, but listen to me. You want to know something? 30-something% of Jesus' ministry was deliverance. Okay? It was deliverance. It's not everything. You still got to crucify your flesh. You need to know all the things. There's a whole package of things. But without deliverance, you're not going to... Listen, if we don't get delivered of stuff, we're not going to ever be able to do the rest of what we're called to do.
Right.
Okay? As Brother Nicky said, I want to say this. I appreciate what he said. Now listen, when we go back and we're looking for reasons, things that happen, we're merely looking to turn them over, to uproot, to dismantle, to get rid of that stuff. Alright? And we're looking to forgive who needs to be forgiven. We're not even looking to blame those that did it at all.
That's right.
We don't blame anybody for anything.
That's right.
We're going to blame the devil for his part, take accountability for our part, forgive and release and move on.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
How many want to stay stuck?
Nope.
Anybody?
Nope.
Okay. Man, listen. You know what? Never justify your own sin.
That's right.
Or anybody else's. To start with you. Don't justify your own sin. If you sin, you sin. If you say, I did it, but where are you at? You're getting nowhere with God, I can tell you that. Some people say your butt's too big. Too many butts. I would do it, but. Or it happened to me, but. Okay? Get rid of that. Be real. Colossians 2:7. Say, I am firmly rooted. Built up.
Established in my faith,
and overflowing with gratitude. Man, hallelujah. Say,
I want an attitude of gratitude.
And say, Lord,
if I need it,
give me a checkup
from the neck up.
Amen. Thank you, Father. We need to be obedient to the command of the Lord in Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You transform your mind by putting God's Word in where the lies have been. That's what we were just doing. You know, if there was a lie, you just received some truth. And then not only, listen, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So just simply releasing God's Word and just saying, okay, Lord, I believe, I don't even have to feel it. That comes with faith. You walk by faith, not by sight. I don't have to feel any of it to believe it. I present to you, you believe first, God brings feelings. Walk it out. Listen, I never seen somebody get healed by the laying on of hands until I laid hands on them and they got healed. Never. Not once. At my hand. Lord's doing it. We're just vessels. Okay? I never saw the first devil cast out until I did it. I mean, I see it on TV with other people. The first devil I ever cast out was in a cow. It was in a crazy cow that a demon was in. A friend of mine had it, and you couldn't control it, you couldn't do anything. He asked me to come over and help him move it. And I went over there and I moved that cow, and it'd been a terror every time he moved it. I stood there and prayed in tongues, and he was a bad spell, didn't have that understanding. But I prayed in tongues under my breath, and that cow walked from one pen to the next, never did nothing wrong. He's scratching his head. I went over and looked at that cow, and I was standing beside it. I didn't know they could kick sideways, and it did. It kicked me.
Wow.
And it hurt. And I looked at it, and I saw the demon in its eyes. And I said, you come out of him in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. And the other fellow, he didn't even know what happened. And I saw that demon leave. I saw the eyes change. And a month later, I talked to him, and I said, what'd you ever do to that cow? He said, I sold it, but I wish I hadn't. It never acted up again. There's a lot that needs to happen for us that won't happen to us till we're doers.
That's true.
Amen? If I will renew my mind with the truth of the Word of God, my identity will become anchored in Jesus. When that happens, I will not be made smaller by the enemy when I fail at something. You catch that? If I will renew my mind with the truth of the Word of God, my identity will become anchored in Jesus. When that happens, I will not be made smaller by the enemy when I fail at something. Neither will I become puffed up when I succeed, because all glory is the Lord's. Many of us are choking on fear of failure. We're worried about failure. Listen, I'm nervous. I'm going to talk to you. Listen. I tell people, you know, listen. You sometimes got to push through fear. There's a person that says, just do it scared. Just do it scared. Push through. Once you've done it scared, watch. You don't have to be scared. You've done it already. Just push through. So that's the enemy. He's trying to make you scared to keep you from going where you're supposed to go. But listen, if I came up here and I took, listen, and I was going to say, boy, if they love it, well, praise the Lord, they love what I said. Well, who just took the glory for that? And what if the words I had to say made every face in here go, am I responsible for that? No. We're responsible to do what the Lord says to do. I'm not taking any failure, and I'm not taking the glory. I'm going to walk with Him. If He corrects me, I'll be corrected.
Amen?
See, we can get into such a glorious place. That way, listen, by the way, that way you can take out the garbage, hand a cup of water, be sitting in the back, or be up here. Who cares? Whatever Jesus wants you to do. I tell people, listen, if you're afraid to sit on the front row, you need to sit on the front row. You hear me? If you're afraid to come up and sit on the front row, sit on the front row. You can't hide anywhere anyway. God's watching. Huh? Push through. Do it scared. And if you think you need to sit on the front row to be seen, sit in the back. So you can get to a place where it doesn't matter where you sit. Lord, where do you want me to sit? It's really that simple. Disarm the enemy. I'm going to tell you something. Satan's doing something to you. The enemy's doing something. Do the opposite. It's that simple. Do the opposite. And it didn't even take a lot of reasoning to figure out what the opposite of whatever he's trying to get you to do. Right? He's trying to get you to be ugly, be sweet.
Right.
Huh?
Amen.
Or say something ugly, say something nice. Biggest problems with our mouths anyway. Listen, once you've been delivered of the drugs, the alcohol, you know, the sexual sin, the da-da-da-da-da, and you're walking your life out, the biggest deal is going to be what you say with your mouth.
Amen.
Are you kind or not?
Are you gossiping? Or are you agreeing with the enemy? Or are you agreeing with God? Amen? We can do this thing, church.
Amen.
We can do it.
Amen.
Because the greater one's in us. Amen? All right. I will no longer need to defend territory. So somebody could say hurtful, demonically, and flesh-inspired words, and I don't even have to defend myself. We don't have to defend territory. It's okay if somebody will think different. One of the worst things you can do as a Christian is get in a religious argument with somebody trying to persuade them of the truth. Even if it's true, you're fighting with them. Because and a lot of that happens, and people are doing it because, now listen to me. If I am healed, you can disagree with me and you don't like me less. It's okay if you disagree. You're you. Made in the image of God. Unique. And a lot of us on the face of the earth the same. Well, that's awesome. That's a testimony to God. Amen. But not one of us. But if I have hurts and wounds that are yet healed, and you disagree with me, somehow that makes me less than, so I have to fight with you to get you to agree. When my identity's in the Lord, it's okay. Somebody doesn't agree, they don't agree. If what I'm trying to share with them is God's truth, I should be doing it in love anyway, so I can back off and fight for the enemy on their behalf and ask God to talk to them. Send somebody else. I don't care if I've told somebody something and had a relationship with them and then known them for 3 years and then come back to me 3 years later and say, guess what I learned today? What is it? Well, praise the Lord. And I don't say, I'm a telling you that because you're a genius. Who cares? Praise the Lord. They got it. Amen. I don't have to act out of defense. I will firmly know my value because of what happened at the cross. Oh, listen, I could vote in a church council. Brother Nicky, you're a pastor. You probably appreciate this. I could vote in a church council, lose, and get behind the work of the ministry because I'm not less because the vote did not go my way. You get that? And I could win in a vote and not be puffed up more and say, I knew I was right. Be gracious to the ones that didn't agree. We can move on. Be truly the body of Christ we're called to be. Amen? I can live my life with an everyday awareness of God's grace, looking to see the government of God established in everything I do. I can esteem others more important than myself and obey the commandment that says we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. When I believe what the Word says I am and what I can do in Jesus, I won't be able to help just even loving me. Huh? We love ourselves. Not a puffed up vain way, look at me. But esteem, know that you have value. We have to know that we're valued in the Lord. And appreciate, listen, ultimately, you know what that is? Jesus, I thank you for the price you paid for me. Yeah. So because you paid such a good price, such an unpaid, nobody could have done what you did. And because you did, Jesus, I'm going to treat me well.
Yeah.
By doing what's best for me. This soul, which is to believe you. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to like myself because of what you've done for me. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll be able to tell the enemy he has to shut up and prove it with the Word of God. Everybody say, shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Let's do it again. Shut up, devil.
Shut up, devil.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Do it one more time.
Let's shut up.
There you go. All right, ready? Just like that. Shut up, devil, in Jesus' name. There. Anybody ever have an old dog on their porch? Need to run it off? Do you ever run out there and go, no way, puppy. No, here. No. He doesn't even. That's what the devil does with us. You better force him out. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent takes by force. You need to be serious. Get rid of him. I will live a life pleasing unto the Lord, enjoying being His child and trusting Him to keep me in all things. I won't have to compete, but will strive to empower others to flourish in the Lord. I'll be teachable at all times, listening for the voice of God always, even willing to be taught by those I have taught in the past, rejoicing when the student becomes the teacher. I'll root for God's people to succeed in the work of the Lord and be joyfully grateful whether I'm in the front row or the back. I could be transparent with someone if I'm struggling. Because I'm not made less than if I say I need some help. Luke 10, 16 through 21, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. Whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me. In 10:17, the 72 men came back in great joy and said, Lord, even the demons obeyed us when we gave them a command in your name. Jesus answered and said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I've given you authority so that you can walk on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy and nothing will hurt you. But then listen, he knows men. People are prideful. We'll take credit. He said, but don't be glad because the evil spirits obeyed you. Rather be glad because your name's written in heaven. That was really a warning from him. Yeah, you're doing it. It's in my name, but it's in my power. And it's because your name is written in the book. The more deliverance you do, the more you know how little it's you. You hear what I'm saying? The more that you walk out your deliverance and the freer you get, the more you'll know that no matter how free you are, the more you know how much you need Jesus. You'll know more. The more, even the better you're walking your life out, the freer you're walking it out, that means you'll know even greater how much you need Him and what a mess we are. Even though I don't do a lot of the things I used to do. Amen? Okay. Anybody that thinks you're there, they're in trouble. But I'm accepted in the Beloved. Amen? Fully accepted in the Beloved. Are you born again? You're fully accepted in the Beloved. Luke 10:21. And at that time, Jesus was filled with joy by the Holy Spirit. Are you a joyful Christian? Are we joyful? Can the world look at our face? Listen, one time I was in a ministry and I see this lady, she smiles. She said, she drives down the road to the Walmart, she looks in the mirror and cracks her smile. She said because she wanted people to see a face that they could come to. Sometimes we get busy. You go around doing your stuff. But listen, sometimes it's time for a face chat. I'm going to stop and tell a little story. Man, I heard another man tell this. He said back in the Revolutionary War days, there was a man that was traveling. And in his travels, he come to a river. And he didn't have a horse to cross the river. And there was a group of men there. And he said, 10 or 12 other men on horseback. And he approached one of them and he said, could he have a ride across? And the man said, yeah, come on. And he picked him up and carried him across the river. And he said, when they got to the other side, they stopped and they were milling around there a little bit. One of the other men came up to him and said, sir, of all the men here, why did you ask the president to give you a ride across the river? And he said, he's the only one that had a yes face. Do we have a yes face? I have to reset my face. I make sure that I have a face that's kind, looking to look people in the eye and smile at them. Huh? To represent our Lord. Maybe they need something. He's taking us from glory to glory. If you're not there, just want to be there. Huh? I told you, I have to reset my face. It's not automatic. You understand what I'm saying? Or sometimes I'll realize when I'm walking, I said, okay, you're not smiling. You're just doing your business here. So it's just as easy to smile. And I'm going to tell you, listen, church, I want you to hear this. You want to be used by the Lord?
Yeah.
It's not convenient.
No.
It's not convenient.
Yeah.
It's not convenient. Cherish the moments that He gives you with another soul.
Yeah,
take the time.
Okay.
Don't be in a hurry to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're working for something, I mean, if you've got a job, you owe your employer your time. If you're off about your business at the Walmart or something, it won't hurt to wait 10 more minutes to cook your supper at home.
Yeah.
If you need to stop and minister. Stop. Listen. If you're in a bind, you want somebody to do that for you. Amen?
Yeah.
All right. You have become new and been given a new identity in order to walk in authority. Jesus said, oh, I love this, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Do you know at the moment when He said that, He was standing in a place on the earth where they literally believe, and it's probably so. Okay? It was a place where they believe was an opening to Hades. He believed it so, or He would have said so. The gates of, He's standing in a place where Hades was worshipped. And said, the gates of hell shall not prevail. How many know Jesus is an all-purpose God?
Mm-hmm.
He's told us we'll always triumph. We're more than conquerors. Luke 4:18. Speak it with me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. To teach deliverance, to preach deliverance to the captives. Recovering of sight to the blind. And to set at liberty those that are bruised. How many have had some bruises healed? Even this weekend. Amen? You know what our goal is? I can speak for leadership here. I want you to be so healed you go out and help other people. Heal people. Amen? We want to die to self. Say, I'm going to die to self. I'm going to live in Him. For Him. And through Him. Raise your hands up. If you would. Receive His grace. Say, I receive your grace. To just be me. With you and me. As we live our lives together. In Jesus' name. Amen. That title up there is healing for rejection, but that's not the one I meant to put up, but I'm going to speak it from here anyway. So, and now we're going to go into what steals that identity from me. Okay? So we want our identity firmly rooted in Christ. But here's one of the major things that's your identity stealer that gives you an identity that's not of the Lord. Say, Father,
Father,
I am accepted
in the Beloved.
I don't want to be rejected.
I renounce the lie
that says I am. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen? Alright, rejection is one of Satan's most effective forms of oppression. It may keep a sinner from coming to God. You know, there's people don't come to God because they're afraid of getting rejected by God. Has anybody ever met somebody that says, I've done too much? That's a lie. It can keep a Christian from reaching his or her full potential in the Lord. It undermines, it breaks, and it prevents normal and harmonious relations between family members, between marriage partners, fellow workers, and friends. It also distorts our image of God as a loving Heavenly Father who loves us and wants only the best for us. You know that when you're deeply rejected, you'll get into a place in your relationships where when you think something's about to go wrong that might not even be going wrong, you'll reject that other person before they reject you. So there are people that maybe they're going into a place where they've walked in a life of rejection. They got somebody that truly loves them, and that enemy will work that rejection in them, and they'll blow up and create a situation that causes that relationship to go blow apart when there was nothing wrong. Because rejection is a cycle that has to be broken. Dictionary defines rejection as an act of throwing away or discarding someone or something. It implies a lack of value in the person being thrown away. Being rejected makes you feel valueless and worthless. Being denied love is at the root of rejection. Rejection, whether it's active or passive, real, and listen, or imaginary, it robs Jesus Christ of His rightful position as Lord in your life. People operating in heavy rejection don't know how to let God get close to them. He loves them. He's not withholding anything. But rejection will keep you from the benefits of God, from all of that fellowship that He wants to have. It keeps believers from experiencing the vitality and the quality of life that He wants to give you. It results in the wounding of the heart, sometimes so painful that the mind refuses to deal with it. So we bury it in our subconscious. Now, there's a spirit called trauma. And trauma can come from physical things, but it can also come from a wound. It's like a blow to the chest. And rejection can be one of the things that brings that trauma. And with trauma comes even an either replay, something's always going on, you're remembering, or amnesia, that you just block it away. And that might be how you cope, but it'll never be how you thrive. In order to thrive, you've got to let the Holy Spirit take you back to the place, forgive and release, and receive healing. Amen? Okay. would say it's the greatest undiagnosed and most untreated malady within the body of Christ today. You know, a person, listen to me, if you have to get credit for things, you're operating in rejection. If you have a need for credit, you're operating in rejection. Large majority of the people that come to here for prayer, it's rooted in rejection. And you know, there's a tree back there. Dr. Noll used to minister here, went on to the Lord. But I'm just telling you, listen, they got posters back there. You know, sometimes I would just counsel you, get those posters, put them up on the wall, and start looking at that tree and look at those roots and say, is this me, Lord? And we'll do what we're going to do here, and God's going to help you. But we are a layered people, like you say, always talking, like peeling back an onion. Okay? You want to do well? You want to grow? Then you daily go, Lord, okay, Lord, what are we going to work on today?
Amen.
Huh? I don't think he's going to ever run out. Sister Jerry, she's so humble. She's been walking this out for a long time, and she just said, oh, yeah, I'm sure again. But that's the truth. And she's transparent before the people. And she said, God is training me.
Thank you, Lord.
It never quits.
Right.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Now, listen. One day, we're going to be perfected. Perfected.
Yeah.
That's our hope.
Yeah.
It's the truth. And we won't sin. We won't have a sin nature. And we'll be one with Christ. And this body of flesh will be dead. And we'll have celestial bodies after the resurrection. What a glorious day. It's coming. And it's a whisper away. A whisper. I mean, the years have flown by. Haven't they? Everybody over 40 here knows. Don't you? Boom. Well, I remember when. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, listen. Don't be making. Listen, we have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
We have the mind of Christ. I'm just going to say this. Listen, as you get older, listen, I don't allow the devil to steal my thoughts.
Amen.
Listen to me. I know the source of that. These minds are programmed where you never lose a thought. The mind has what's in it. It's not gone. So somebody's interfering in that. So what I do, if there's something I was going to say and I lose it, and when I'm talking with other people, I say, Father, Holy Spirit, you know what it was going to be said, and if you want it said, I'm thanking you to bring it to me. And you know it comes. It comes. So don't just give in to that. Be real with it. You don't have to give in to that. If something's stealing my thoughts, well, I don't like the thief. You're not stealing from me, devil.
Amen.
I rebuke you.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
There's some root causes of rejection. This is not all of them, but I'll go through a few. So I said that tree up there is very extensive. There's heritage rejection. Okay. What you inherited? What you're born with? Generational rejection. The timing and manner of your conception, if you're born out of wedlock, automatically, you're going to have a curse called a bastard curse on you. Bible says that you're cut off from the congregation of the Lord. And without it being broke, you'll never feel like God's really your Father. And oftentimes you feel alone in the crowd. Has anybody here ever felt alone in a crowd? Okay? You don't feel accepted. There are the events during the pregnancy and the attitudes of the mother and father. Did they want the baby? Were they delighted? Did they grumble? Did they consider abortion even? If abortion was considered, a spirit of murder comes in the child. Fear, great rejection, deaf, dumb spirits, all ties to that rejection. The rejection's a root. You have to reject the baby to avoid it. Yeah. If you've been that person, the Lord just wants to forgive and heal you and move on. Amen. You're going to see that 33-year-old child. Yeah. According to our brother yesterday. Said everybody he saw was at the age of Jesus. That would be 33 years old. Amen? Thank you, Father. The manner of birth, even things that happen in the birthing process. Hey, listen. There's no vacuum in the spirit world. Well, I've gotten mad at the baby during the delivery. In the pain of it, to say things and open the door for that baby. My people perish for lack of knowledge. How many people do you know praying on those children before they're coming out and during birth and during the delivery? And delivering those children. like Carla said, she know what she knows now. Carla, you thought, she said, well, I would have delivered my children as soon as I delivered them.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.